In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, I will build my church. And I think as Brother Raymond here was talking about using the lot, I think probably the most difficult thing for man is to resign to the will of God without making some plans of how he hopes it will be. Because God, we do trust God. That's why this service is. That's why we do it this way, so that we can trust God. But maybe a more difficult thing for us is to come under God, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to be able to say yes to his will. Now, I'd like for this evening to go to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And there's something here about the plurality of the church body. I want to just touch on that a little bit. In the first three chapters in the book of Ephesians, we have given what we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. And then in the last three chapters, it talks more about how we should respond to that so that God can work his will for us. And he does that to us as we unitedly come to him. There are several ideas that are given in the epistles, in the book of Acts, and there are times when we see God working great things and working marvelously after a statement like, and they were together in one accord. I did find it interesting that the opposition to the church body, there was also groups that rose up together in one mind to destroy the work of God. And so there is power and that freedom, that resignation, and all that comes together. And here in the first verses then of chapter 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith ye were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, for the church body, God has brought us together in somewhat of a diversity, where we don't all think alike, we don't all do things alike, we don't all draw the line at the same place, and yet out of that, God has arranged, he has given what it takes if we are willing to yield ourselves together in one accord, that God can do wondrous things among us and to us individually. But God has somehow not arranged that one person can do it for himself alone. It's not called a body. You can't call one member of your body the body, because the scripture is clear that there are many members, but there is only one body. And it is as those members function, complementing each other, helping each other. And the same idea is given for the plurality of the church body. And we could then tie into that you have here two brethren. They're from among you. They have been from among you. But they're also part of the body, with a different function. And it is as they work together with the congregation that God can work his will. And not as one goes out on his own agenda, like the, can't think of the name in the New Age movement, where he was talking about how that in the New Age circles, it is taught that each man is his own God. And so how is that? Does each man have his own kingdom? Is he his own king? Or how is that? That is not the plan of God. So then in verses 4, 5, and 6, it tells us that there is one body. There is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's what brings us together. As in a new birth experience, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, we become part of the one body. There is one hope of your calling. And I think we agree that our only hope is in Jesus Christ. That's the one hope that we have. And there is one Lord, there's one faith. Read it here, part of it here in Ephesians 4, where it talks about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And maybe we should take another look at verse 2, where it talks about how we should fit in wherever God places us. He says, in lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another. And that beautiful verse in Ephesians 4:32, where he says, be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another. Did I miss something there about forbearance?
Tender-hearted.
And forgiving, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. And that's what we're to extend to each other. And out of that comes what God wants as the body functions, blending together, each doing its part that it is intended to do. Now, the I didn't finish this reading in verse 5 and 6, where he says there is one faith, one baptism, there is one God and Father of all. And notice what it says. He is above all, he is through all, and he is in you all. He's in us all. And so, in our differences with the indwelling of the Spirit in the arrangement of God Almighty, it is intended that our differences are blended together as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so, just a few ideas here of how that the church body, throughout the epistles, there is a distinction made when referring to the church body or those outside the church. Whenever it has reference to the church body, you'll see it referred to as we and us. There is no me, myself, and I here. We're together. Outside of the church, it is they and them. And there's different groups and different ideas where that is addressed. And we could find some scriptures, and I'm thinking of the difference of those that say peace, peace, and sudden destruction comes upon them. And then it talks about our hope in Christ, and that we have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when God addresses people and people groups, he does so in the plural. And so there's a plurality in the church body, and so what applies to one applies to all. The rules are all the same. We've all sinned. We've all come short. And we all must be saved by the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12, there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved except Jesus Christ. And he is the only Savior. There won't be another one. So in the church body, all must come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And much can be accomplished when people band together in one accord. Now, God has established a diversity in the church. Go a little further in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and that verse has been referred to here this week, where he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And the following verses, 12 through 16, tell us what it's all about. It is to bring us together in perfection. It is to bring us together and to establish us that we're not tossed to and fro, not quite sure where we're going next, but has brought us with confidence in that when we believe God and when we as a body band together and we're accountable to each other. We don't all each go out on his own. That's not what's intended. So God has established a diversity in the church body with different gifts, talents, and functions, out of which he will bring together a complete body in unity, and there will be one body and one shepherd. And I'd like to talk about that just a little bit more here. But in the church body, as I said, it will be us and we. Outside, it's they and them. And so when you read the epistles, you can decide who is God talking to when he makes reference to they and them and to us and we. I'd like to turn to with the idea that as God brings everything together, there will be one body, and there will be one shepherd. John 10, and zeroing in on verse 16. And here, Jesus is talking about himself as the good shepherd. And going the wrong way here. In John 10:15, Jesus, in the foregoing verses, he refers to himself as the good shepherd. And he talks about the hireling and how that he will not care for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He says there are other sheep out there, and I'm also going to bring them in. And I think this is referring to the Gentile people. Here, when he is talking to his disciples, he said, there are other sheep which are not of this fold. They also I must bring in, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And it says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Now, this is one of those passages that I have read many times, and I don't know, do you experience that? And here, suddenly I'm reading this passage, and I notice something I'd missed before. The fact that is stated here that when Christ is finished building his church, there's only going to be one body. And there's only going to be one shepherd. And I think that's kind of sobering and to think, am I where I want to be? Is Jesus Christ my shepherd? Or do I have an agenda of my own that I want to work out for my name's sake rather than for the name of Jesus Christ and for his honor and glory? It really doesn't matter how I think. It doesn't matter how I accept that. It's still going to be that way. And it won't be on my terms. It'll be on the terms of God in what he intended. And so, as we hear, and just a little bit about the shepherds, the pastors, the deacons, how do they fit in all this? Are they on a different level? Are they in a different sheepfold? I'd like to say very emphatically, no. In God's program, in his order of headship, there is no rank. There is no place where one is above the other. It is not an order of rank. It's an order of function. It's the way that God has intended that it will work. And so, for it to work, there has to be a relationship. There has to be an understanding, a forbearing, an encouraging, and a support of the whole body. I understand that when there is a cut or an injury in the body, there are cells that, in a sense, rush to assist that injury, and that's what brings healing. And if we follow the analogy that the Apostle Paul gives in the book of Corinthians about the church as a body, it is intended that it works the same way. Not that the pastors and teachers are above the rest of them, but that they're on the same level. And I think we should be very careful when we in our minds think that there are people among us that are not very important. The Bible says, in relation to the body, that if one member suffers, the whole body suffers. And it doesn't matter how important we think others are. It's important to know that God thinks of all of us as equally important in whatever role he has called us. Let's go yet to John chapter 17. Jesus, in his prayer here, prays for all believers in verses 20 and following. Several verses here, it says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." What is the observation of the world around us? when they see the church body? Does it look to them as if there is one body and one Lord? Let's see. Jesus said, "By this shall men know that you are my disciple, if you have love one for another." Now he goes on here in verse 22. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." God intends that as we are brought together in his presence, there will be a oneness, as it is with the Father and the Son. Again, verse 22, "And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Now, there may be reasons why there are people out there who are not attracted to the church. And woe unto us if it is because of our response to the call of God and to the marvelous provision that he has made for us, in that he has given us what we need when he gave us his Spirit to indwell in us, to give us what we need to live above sin and to live holy and godly lives as he calls us to. Well, I trust that as we here this evening again see the working of God, that there's something within us that will give us a desire to walk closer, more consistently with the calling that we are called in. To you, brethren, may God give you grace and bless you. Daniel, Nathan, and may you find joy as you find ways to fulfill the role that God gives you. Shall we stand for prayer?